So this morning we're going to focus on a passage from John chapter 13, and as you can see on the screen, we're focusing on a series of messages that we are calling the Peter Principles. So I started that last week, and we're focusing on a number of stories about the disciple Peter, and Peter had sometimes a way of kind of putting his foot in his mouth. And he would say things and do things kind of rashly, not always thinking about it before he opened his mouth. And so some of us can relate to that. And so we're going to focus on that again this morning with a passage where Jesus is going to wash the feet of the disciples. And as we see in the story, Peter isn't so sure about that. So let's hear then the word of God from John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter said, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the other day I read a story about the late Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's Hamburgers. And this Dave Thomas said this. He says, "I guarantee you that I'm the only founder among America's great companies with my picture in the corporate annual report holding a mop and a plastic bucket." And that wasn't a gag, said Thomas. It was a case of leading by example. At Wendy's, MBA doesn't stand for Master of Business Administration. It means mop bucket attitude, a willingness to serve at the lowest levels. It's how we define satisfying the customer through cleanliness, quality food, friendly service, and atmosphere. And I believe, said Thomas, that it's the key to our success in business. Now, Jesus exemplified that same kind of mop bucket attitude in John 13 that we just read together. As he sits down with his disciples for their last meal together before he would go to the cross that next day. And they were all there, all 12 of Jesus' disciples, including Judas, who had already made a deal with the Jewish religious leaders to betray Jesus. The meal was underway, and suddenly Jesus stands up. He takes off his outer garment, and he wraps a towel around his waist, and he grabs a bucket of water, and he goes to the end of the table, and he kneels down. Without saying a word, Jesus takes the feet of one of his disciples and he brushes off the dust and he begins to wash them with water, one foot at a time. And then he takes the towel and wipes the feet dry. He goes to the next disciple and he does the same. And in that room, no one dares to speak. They can't believe what Jesus is doing. You see, the act of foot washing itself was a common occurrence at that time. Most people, they wore sandals in those days, and the pathways were dusty, and so it was common in those days to provide a basin of water for visitors to wash their feet before they would come into a home. And in most cases, the guests would simply wash their own feet. And for a host not to offer water for a guest to wash his feet was seen as an act of unkindness to that guest. And we actually see an example of that in the Bible in Luke 7, where Jesus visits the home of a prominent Pharisee named Simon. And as they were sitting together, having a pleasant dinner together, that dinner was interrupted by a woman who kneels down at Jesus' feet and begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And Simon, the host of that dinner, felt scandalized by this loose woman's behavior. Yet Jesus rebukes Simon for failing to offer him any water for his feet. He wasn't really much of a host at all. He hadn't made that basin of water available for his guests. And the woman was commended for showing her love to Jesus, while Simon couldn't be bothered to show the common courtesy of providing some water for Jesus and the other guests to wash their feet. Now, while it was common for guests to wash their own feet when a host offered them a basin of water, it was a mark of high social achievement for someone to have servants who could then be delegated to wash the feet of the guests to his home. But under no circumstances in those days would a host ever wash the feet of his guests. And it would even be unthinkable for a master to wash the feet of his servants or anyone who was beneath him. Now, by definition, this act of foot washing was really kind of a humiliating kind of experience. People's feet would get sweaty and stinky while they were walking around the dirt paths in their sandals. And even today, especially during the winter season, we don't wear sandals, we wear socks on our feet. And still today, sometimes our feet can get stinky and smelly. We don't usually like to take off our socks and let everybody smell our feet, let alone to clean them. And most of the time, we don't focus all that much on our feet. We kind of take our feet for granted unless we need to buy a new pair of shoes or maybe sometimes our feet start to bother us. And most of us who are men, we probably go through a whole lifetime without ever having a pedicure, right? Any guys here want to admit they've had a pedicure? Well, we've had a few. Okay, all right. But for women, it can be a way to pamper themselves, right, to have a pedicure. And other than that, we don't think a lot about our feet unless they bother us. So let me ask you, have you ever tried to wash someone's feet at the end of a hot day when they're covered with dirt and sweat? Probably not, right? Unless we do that for young kids. Now, there are some groups that observe foot washing at a church, kind of as a church ordinance, and they often do that during the season of Lent, and it can be a way to remember what Jesus did for his disciples that last night in the upper room. But I think that if we were going to do that, let's say we were going to have our feet washed on a Sunday morning, and we knew about that, I can guess that probably what most of us would do is that morning we would make sure we would scrub our feet pretty good, wouldn't we? We wouldn't want to show up with dirty, stinky, and smelly feet. We don't like the idea of someone touching our feet in that way. That's really the whole point of foot washing, right? That if our feet get dirty, they need to be washed. And if they aren't dirty, we don't need to have our feet washed. But for many of us to think of someone getting close and personal with our feet, that can be a little bit embarrassing for us. It can even be humbling to have someone clean our feet. And even maybe some people have paid someone to do that. It's still somewhat humbling to take off our socks and to present them to someone to clean our feet. Even the idea of sometimes, you know, people playing footsie with each other, right? We don't just do that with anyone. We'll only do that with someone who's special to us, right? And we might not always think of it that way, but in certain ways, our feet represent our whole body. Did you know that I read something this week that said that the average person walks the equivalent of 3 times around the whole earth in their lifetime? And the foot itself is a complex mechanism made of 23 bones, 33 joints, and over 100 muscles and tendons. Is that correct, Dr. Stephen? Okay. That's what I read anyway. And anyway, you know, we have our feet. We take our feet for granted. But if you think about it, our feet, they carry an enormous load. Wherever our feet go, the rest of us follows along, right? And yet we take our feet for granted. And if our feet ache, it often affects the rest of us. And if our feet are cold, often we feel cold all over. And if our feet are dirty, we won't feel clean unless we wash our feet. Our feet take us wherever we go. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, because our feet are a humble part of our body, washing them touches us deeply and reveals our truest feelings. And that's why Peter reacts so strongly when Jesus approaches him with the towel in the basin in verse 6. In the original Greek, the words are even more emphatic when Jesus says, "You, my feet are washing?" But that doesn't even express the shock that Peter feels in verse 6. "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" To Peter, this simply wasn't right. That the roles had somehow been reversed. It violated all that he had been taught for Jesus to touch his dirty feet. That simply could not happen. Now, it's interesting that this is one of the longer conversations between Peter and Jesus in the Gospels. And everything that Peter says, it just comes out all wrong. The more he talks, the more confused he gets. And you know, I kind of appreciate Peter for that. Peter is such a human kind of a guy. And he swings from one extreme to the other in his conversation. First, he's shocked by what Jesus does. Then he flatly refuses to have Jesus wash his feet. And then he tells Jesus to wash his hands and his head, to wash his whole body as well. Peter speaks out of confusion and frustration. And nothing that Jesus says or does makes sense to him. In verse 8, Peter refuses Jesus in the strongest language possible. No, you will never wash my feet, says Peter. It was Peter's way of saying, you will never, ever, ever wash my feet. Not now, not ever, absolutely not. It's not going to happen. And to which Jesus then calmly replies, fine. But if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Which then makes Peter respond impulsively in verse 9. Well, go ahead, Jesus. Give me a bath. Wash me all over. And I think to myself, good old Peter. He just doesn't understand. But one thing that comes through here about Peter is the fact that he wants Jesus to know that he loves him. That he, Peter, wants to be his disciple through and through. And it demonstrates how a foot washing can actually expose a person's heart. The lack of water for foot washing exposed Simon the Pharisee as being very indifferent to Jesus. But Peter's confusion reveals the depth of his dedication to Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus. He wants to serve Jesus with clean feet, with a clean heart, and with every part of his body. And you know, when we look at this story, it kind of begs the question, why had they actually started eating and yet none of them had bothered to wash any of the dirty feet? Why had the disciples not bothered to wash each other's feet in this situation? And even more important, why had no one considered the idea of washing Jesus' feet? Well, we actually get a clue about that in another passage in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 22, verse 24. And it tells us that immediately after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper with the disciples in that upper room, it says there that a dispute arose among them as to which one of them was the greatest. And that's kind of bizarre if we really think about that. I mean, here Jesus had just revealed to them in the Lord's Supper that he would sacrifice his body and his blood for them. And what do the disciples do? They start to argue amongst each other about which one of them was the most important. They were all focused on being number one in that situation. And so is it any wonder that they hadn't bothered to think of the idea of washing each other's feet? That's why Jesus had to do it. It was left to Jesus because the disciples were focused so much on themselves and their own sense of importance. And so Jesus, the master, had to become the servant of all so that these big shot disciples would come to understand who Jesus really is and why he had come to this earth in the first place. In other words, this foot washing that Jesus demonstrated for his disciples had actually foreshadowed what was going to happen that very next day. It demonstrated what Jesus would do to sacrifice his life for them on the cross that very next day. And that's why Jesus says to Peter in verse 7, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. In other words, the dirt on their feet symbolized the dirt that they were all carrying on the inside. The outer stain from the dusty roads mirrored the inner stain of sin that no washing of water could ever remove. And Jesus' willingness to take up the servant's towel pictured his willingness to die the death of a common criminal. And the water stood for his blood that would be shed on the cross to cleanse us from our sin. And that's exactly why Jesus told Peter that his feet needed to be washed so that he could, or he could have no part of him. Because as long as Jesus remains outside of us, all that he came to do in this world has no value to us. In other words, it's not enough to say, well, I go to church on Sunday morning, and I've been baptized. It's not enough to say that, I believe in the Jesus of the Bible. On that night in the upper room, it was not enough to say, yeah, I kind of like the idea of Jesus washing the feet. But I just don't want him to wash my feet. You see, as long as we keep Jesus at a distance, as long as we keep ourselves from having a relationship with Jesus, all the Bible knowledge that we have, all the religious experience that we might have, it really doesn't make much difference. And that was actually what was happening with Peter in that upper room. Peter had spent the last 3 years hanging out with Jesus. He had heard Jesus teach, and he had witnessed many of Jesus' miracles. He had performed acts of service in Jesus' name, but all that good stuff that Peter had done, it wasn't enough. And Peter was full of enthusiasm of what Jesus was doing as the Savior, as the Messiah. But even that enthusiasm, it wasn't good enough. Peter needed to humbly submit to having his feet washed by Jesus the Messiah, and he needed to do it even though he didn't fully understand it at the time. And that same, and in that same way for us, we need to come by faith to Jesus. And it's kind of like having our feet washed by Jesus. That we come to Jesus dirty and unclean, embarrassed by the stain of sin within us that we can't remove on our own. That's right. There's nothing we can do to wash away the dirt within our hearts, to wash away the sin of our lives. Jesus alone can do that for us. It's kind of like the old song goes, who can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It makes me think of a man who came into my office a few years ago. He'd lived a pretty messed up life, and he felt that he had sinned too much for God to forgive him. He thought he was beyond God's forgiveness. And I pointed him to some of the promises of the Bible, showing how God wants to give us a fresh start in our lives. I pointed him to 1 John 1, verse 9, where it says, if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Someone has called this the soap dish verse, where God says, I'm going to give you a bath. And I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm going to get rid of all the dirt and garbage in your life. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, we now have been made totally clean on the inside, removing all the dirt, guilt, and shame from our lives. Jesus took care of all that when he went to the cross for us. And the Bible gives us this wonderful assurance that we can now live a guilt-free life because of God's gift of forgiveness and renewal to us in his Son Jesus. That, my friends, is really the central message of the Bible. That's the good news of the Bible. When we embrace Jesus by faith, it's like taking a bath. We've been made clean by the shed blood of Jesus. And nothing can take that away from us. We now belong to God because of Jesus. Jesus did for us what we cannot do by ourselves. And yet the fact remains. We still live in a dirt-filled and sin-infected world today. And no matter how hard we try to stay clean, the dirt of sin still has a way of polluting us more than we care to realize. And that's why Jesus said to Peter that although he was already clean, he still needed to have his feet washed. As Jesus says in verse 10, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, their whole body is already clean. And in that same way for us today, we have already been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. We are only saved once. But the fact is, we still need to have a daily cleansing to remove the effects of sin in our lives. I mean, think about it. Even in this past week, I'm sure I can say for each one of us, we've all said things. We've all done some things that we know were not right. We've all done some things that we would not want to have put up on the screen here this morning, right? We haven't always been that kind and that loving in our relationships with our family at home. We haven't always been that kind and respectful to people at work or at school. And we certainly haven't always honored God with all of our thoughts, words, and actions, even in this past week. And that's why we need the cleansing that Jesus offers us. He has already taken away the guilt of our sin, but we still need to be cleansed of the effects of our sin each and every day. And that happens when we confess our sin to Jesus in the assurance of his forgiveness. Because that's why Jesus came into this dirty, sin-infested world in the first place, to be our Savior from sin. And just as Jesus did not think of himself too important to stoop down and to wash the dirty feet of his disciples, so he willingly humbled himself to die a horrible death on a cross to take away our sin. Not just some of our sin, to take away all of our sin. And Jesus calls us to respond to that by now serving others in that same self-sacrificial way, so that we can point people to Jesus, so that they also can be washed clean from their sin, as we already have by faith in Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're humbled by the way that you have shown us what it means to serve others. We confess that too often we are just like the disciples, where we can get so caught up in our own self-importance, in that we're so caught up thinking about what we want and what we need that we neglect the needs of others around us, let alone to serve them in a Christ-like sacrificial way. Lord God, forgive us for our selfish ways. And more so, we pray that you will give us the assurance that you came into this world, Lord Jesus, to provide a cleansing for us. That you have made us as white as snow. That you have cleansed us through your sacrificial death on the cross. We thank you, Lord God, for assuring us that we are already washed clean of all of our guilt and shame when we look to Jesus as Savior. We pray that you will help us to look to you also for the daily cleansing of the effects of sin that we experience in our lives. We pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and that you will instill within us the kind of sacrificial love and service for others that you, Lord Jesus, have modeled for us. We pray also that you will help us to live out the words of the Bible. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Help us, Lord God, through our words and our actions to share the good news of Jesus with others. And may it be that the people around us in this community, that they may also come to know Jesus, that they also might be cleansed of their sin, and that they might experience new life in Jesus as we already experience that by faith in him. And so we pray that in the name of Jesus, our precious Savior. Amen.